We are now beginning our third part of Revelation, and this is part three. We have completed part one and two, and after taking a summer break, we are now back here in September, beginning with part three. So we want to begin this study to see some of the things that we have learned as we studied in the part one and part two of the book of Revelation. So it's so good to be back into our study again. And I just ask that God will lead us through His Holy Spirit and teach us His precious word through His word, that we may know Him more and that we may live it out in our lives each day. So let us begin our study today in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come to You again, thanking You and praising You for the great Almighty God that You are. And Father, we know that we cannot learn of You unless we know Jesus, because when we come to know Him, He fills us with Your Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and teaches us Your Word. So we're so thankful that we can come together again and study Your Word, that we may go out and tell others what Jesus has done for us and that what He'll do for them if they'll just believe upon His name. So we just ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some of the things that we've studied, we want to begin our lesson, but as we look at this first lesson, this is the first lesson in part two, and it's entitled, What is the Sign of His Coming and the End of the Age? And we'll be reviewing in this lesson one, Revelation chapters 5 through chapter 11. So you can see that we are going back and reviewing. So what have we learned then as we've studied? First of all, we know that God gave Jesus the revelation, the unveiling of things which must soon take place. And Jesus sent His angel to tell John to write what He showed him. The message is to the church. So we are now living in the church age, and the message in Revelation is to us, the church, the believers in Jesus. So we learned in our study previously that Revelation is a book of prophecy, and with the blessings promised to those that read it, hear it, and live it out or keep it as it's written. And it's divided into three segments. The first one is Revelation chapter 1, and that was the things that John saw. It was the vision of Jesus in the midst of seven lampstands. And then the second segment is Revelation 2 and 3, chapters 2 and 3. And this is about the things which are. And that means it's now, it's taking place. And it was the letters, the seven letters sent to the seven churches, which also includes us. And then the third segment is chapters 4 through chapter 22. And this is about the things which shall take place after these things. And we learned in this how that John was given the vision of the seals, the trumpets, the bowls, and the judgments. So we'll start today in chapter 5, and I'm going to just read, and then I'll try to discuss what the chapter is about. So here we see that it's after John was told to come up into heaven. And here he was given the vision to see the things that were to come. And I'll start with verse 1. I saw the right hand of him, this is chapter 5, who sat on the throne, a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. And then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as he to open the book and its 7 seals." And I, John, saw between the throne with the 4 living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having 7 horns, 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now let's look at these verses. What are they saying? Previously in chapter 4, when John was caught up into heaven, he saw the throne of God and God seated on the throne. And God had in his hand a book. Now this is what this chapter is about. It says, starts out that I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And that's speaking of Jesus, I mean of God. He is the one sitting on the throne in heaven. And the book had 7 seals to be opened as to the writing. But no one, this we learned in what we have just read, that there was no one in heaven or on earth that was able to open this book. But then, as he looked around, he saw one there in heaven. And this one was as a lamb. And he was the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, and he was the Lamb of God. And so he was the one that was the only one that was worthy to open the book that God had with the 7 seals. And we finished those last verses, and it says that he came and he took the book and out of the hand of him. And then let's read a little farther here. In this chapter, and we see in verse 8, when he took the book, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders, these were the ones that were around the throne of God, fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break the seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." So here we see that this Lamb, which is Christ himself, he died on the cross for all mankind's sins. And he was the only one worthy because he was without sin. And his blood was pure. And God accepted it as a token for the sins of all that will believe upon the name of Jesus. So he was slain. He hung on the cross. And he purchased a ransom for the people. He brought the people back to God. And he made the people a kingdom and priests to God. And we'll see as we study further that as he comes back to set up his kingdom, that these that believe and accept him as Lord and Savior will rule and reign with him. Now then, let's go on further and look at chapter 6. Now we've got to do 5 through 11. So we want to go through and get a picture of each chapter of what's taking place. And here in this 6th chapter, we see in these first 17 verses how that Jesus, the Lamb, opened these books. Now, I'm going to read because this is about each seal and what they represent. And we'll go back and look at it and review it as we go through our study here. Starting with verse 1. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, "Come." I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. And then when he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." And another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and the men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. And when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like the voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine." And then when the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with famine, with pestilence, and by the wild beast of the sea, earth. And when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and truly, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And there was given to each one of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. So, now then, I want to go a little bit further and see the next seal that is in this chapter, the sixth seal. And I looked, John says, I, John, looked, and when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. And the sky was split apart like a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of its place. And then the kings of the earth and the great men, the commanders, the rich and the strong, and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Now, as the Lamb breaks open this seal, the first one, John saw a white horse with a rider holding a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out to conquer. And then the second seal was broken, and he saw a red horse, and a rider takes peace from the earth. And then the third seal was broken, and John saw a black horse, and a rider had scales to weigh wheat and barley, and there was a famine. And the fourth seal opened, and an ashen horse, a rider in death in Hades, followed, given authority to kill a fourth of people on the earth. And then the fifth seal broken, and the souls under the altar began to cry out for vengeance for their blood. And then as the sixth seal was opened, there was a great earthquake, and the sun becomes black and the moon like blood, and the stars fall from earth and sky splits apart, and every island and mountain is moved or removed out of its place. And men ask to be hidden from God. So that's what we are seeing now is taking place. Remember, this is the tribulation. This is the things that John was given the vision to see of the future. These are the things that are going to take place. Now, let's quickly look at Revelation 7. And we're going to see, and I may skip around some in these chapters because we've got to cover so much. And we've studied this, but this is to review our minds and to bring us back into the Word of God on what we have studied, so that we'll be able in this third part of Revelation to be able to understand more fully through the Holy Spirit what we have studied already. So let's look at the first eight verses of Revelation 7. And after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of God on their foreheads. So we see that God's angels are instructed to hold back, harm from the earth, until these bondservants of God have been sealed on their forehead. And now then, we want to see who these bondservants are. Let's look at verse 4. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. So we see here on earth during the tribulation, God has prepared, and these 144,000, there's 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel that have now been saved, and they are sealed to be protected while they preach and teach the Word of God. God is going to use them for His honor and glory, that these that have been left behind, that have not, were not raptured when Jesus came for the church, but these need to hear the gospel. They need to have the opportunity. And this, look at this. This shows the mercy and the love of God, that even these that have refused all this time here on earth, and now they are in this time of tribulation, and God sends these 144,000 that will be the greatest revival that has ever been, as they begin to preach the word, and many will come to receive Jesus and to accept Him as their Lord and Savior. And look at verse 9 in chapter 7. After these things, after the 444,000 had been sealed, after that I looked, John looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and tribes and people and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their face and worshiped God, saying, "Amen." So here we see in verses 9 through 17 that this great multitude from every nation is standing before the throne in heaven, and they come out of the great tribulation. They were washed in the blood. These are those that were in the tribulation, and they heard the gospel preached by the 144,000, and they accepted Christ, and they believed upon His name. And now, after they have been persecuted or martyred, they have died for the name of Jesus. Here we see this scene that they are in heaven, and the scripture says they came out of the great tribulation washed in the Lamb's blood. So, verse 16 indicates that they suffer on earth, but then verse 17, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. So here we see in this 17th verse that it tells their condition in heaven after they have gone through the great tribulation. Now, let's kind of review. As we have looked so far, we've seen scenes that were taking place on the earth, and then we've seen scenes that took place in heaven. So I just want to remind you that you might write this down on the side of your observation worksheets or somewhere that you can write this down. Chapters 2 and 3 were messages to the churches, and that took place on the earth. And then chapters 4 and 5 were taking place in heaven before God's throne. And then in chapters 6 and 7 through verse 8, it's things that happen on the earth except for that fifth seal. And then in chapter 7, verse 9 through 11, we're back in heaven again. So this is what we're seeing. We're back and forth. The vision that John is given by Jesus' angel. And it takes us different scenes. And it's important that we know when we study where it's taking place, whether it's in heaven or when it's in earth. And it'll help us to understand more of each scripture as we study through. Now, let's go to chapter 8. And we're going to look here again of the seventh seal. Remember of the book that God had and was given to the Lamb, to Christ, Jesus. The seals were being opened, and six seals had been opened. And now in chapter 8, we see the seventh seal. And also we begin to see the trumpets, because there are seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls. So I hope that when we get through studying this third part of the book of Revelation in our reviewing, that you'll be able to get the connection between the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, because this is all future, and this is what takes place as the seals and the trumpets and the bowls are given to the angels. And I'll read 1 through 7 of 8, and then we'll discuss again. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about a half an hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that he might add to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of an angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And the first sound, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned, and a third of the trees was burned up, and the green grass was burned up. So here we see that the Lamb is opening this seventh seal, and when he breaks it open, there's silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And as after the seventh seal, the seven angels with the seven trumpets began to blow the trumpets. And here we see, as they blow the first trumpet, the hail and fire and blood thrown to the earth. Now, I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but we're looking at each trumpet here as it's blown. I want to discuss what takes place as they're blown. If you'll follow me here as I try to explain this, the seventh seal reveals the seven angels with the trumpets. Then the first trumpet, there's hail and fire and brimstone. Now going to the eighth verse, we see the second trumpet. The second angel blows, and there's great burning mountains thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea becomes blood, a third of the creatures die, and a third of the ships are destroyed. And then as you look further at the third trumpet, just follow me through that. That is 10th verse. There's a great burning star. It's called the woodworm, and it falls from heaven on a third of the rivers and the waters, and a third of the waters become bitter, and men die. And then in verse 12, we see the fourth trumpet, and it's a third of the sun, the moon, and the stars are struck, and a third day and night they won't shine. So, now then, what are these all about, the seals and the trumpets? As we've seen what takes place when the seals are open and the trumpets are blown, you see a third of this and a third of that. So what is that? Why was it given at this time? The seals and the trumpets are judgments directed toward those that dwell on the earth that have not received the word of God, have not believed upon the name of Jesus. And here we see, as you go through this, in verse 13, it says, "Then I looked and heard the eagle flying in heaven and saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." So there we see the first woe was the fifth trumpet. The second woe was the sixth trumpet. And the third woe is going to be the seventh trumpet. So the fifth and trumpet, the first woe, there was locusts on the earth from the bottomless pit. So let's go and look further as we see this fifth. When the fifth angel sounded, that's in chapter 9, he said, "I saw a star from heaven." This is verse 1 of chapter 9, which had fallen to the earth. And the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out, and the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air was darkened by the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth. So here we see that the locusts are allowed to harm only the men who don't have the seal of God on their forehead. And we know the 144,000 servants of God, they have been sealed and they will not be harmed. And then the locusts are allowed to torment men, the scripture says, for 5 months. But they're not allowed to kill them. They're only allowed to torment them for 5 months. Now, let's look at verse 13 through 21, because in these verses we see the sixth trumpet, and it says the sixth angel, this is verse chapter 9, verse 13, "The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, month, and year were released so that they would kill a third of mankind. And the number of the armies of horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them." And this is how I saw the vision, the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates, the color fire and hyacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions. Out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. And a third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire, the smoke, and brimstone, which proceeded out of their mouth. Now remember, as we are looking at these visions, a lot of this is written by signs and symbols. This is how that John saw it in the vision that was given to him. So we're looking now at these, that it says that there's such an army. It contains 200,000, it says here, of horsemen, and they kill with these three plagues, fire, smoke, and brimstone. And the two-thirds of mankind left on earth don't repent. That's what we see as we look into the latter part of chapter, look at verse 21 of chapter 9. And they did not repent of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their immorality, nor their thefts. So here, with all the plagues and all the sufferings and all the judgment that comes upon those that don't believe, through all of this, they still would not repent of their murders and their killings and their evil that was taking place. Now then, let's go to chapter 10 and let's look at what this angel that John saw had in his hand. I saw another strong angel, this is verse 1 of chapter 10, and he was coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud. The rainbow was on his head, and his face was like the sun, his feet like pillars of fire. And he had a little book which was open, and he placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land, and he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. And when the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things with which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. And then the angel who I saw standing on the sea and the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and said, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it. And there was no longer delay, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets. So we see here in this chapter the seven peals of thunder. But John sealed up what they said, and he didn't record it. And then verse 7 says that in the days of the seventh trumpet, the mystery of God is finished. God preached a mystery to the prophets. And then an angel told John, as we read further in this, to eat the little book. He said, then the angel told John to eat the little book, the scroll, that seemed to contain more prophecy about the nation. And also, as we look at chapter, that pretty much covers chapter 10. So let's look at this last chapter, chapter 11, and see what is in this, because this is about the two witnesses. Not only did God prepare the 144,000 to preach the gospel, but he sent two witnesses to come upon the earth, and these two witnesses preached the word. Let me read a little bit in chapter 11. And then there was given me a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship it, and leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations, and they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. And that is representing the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And then I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And these are the two olive trees and the two lamps that stand before the Lord on the earth. And as you read on and study in that, we see in these first 14 verses, and I'm not reading all of this, but I just want to go back and kind of explain of what these verses are saying. John was directed to measure the temple, the holy city of Jerusalem. That's where the worshipers of God worship. And he was told not to measure the temple court because it was given to the nations. And the nations that will tread it and trample it court for 42 months, 3.5 years. And God will give authority for his two witness 1,260 days, which is 42 months, to his witnesses to prophesy. And they will prophesy the word of God. And then they will be killed. And then, after they lay in the streets for 3 days, we see that they are raised again. Look at verse 7 of chapter 11. And when they had finished their testimony, the beast that comes out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. And then, as we read further in this, we see then after this, there's a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city falls, and 7,000 people are killed. And as you go further, we see that the second woe, the sixth trumpet, is passed. Now, in verses 15 through 19 of chapter 11, the seventh trumpet is blown. I'll quickly read this. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sit on the thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks, O God, the Almighty, who are and who were, and you have taken your great power and begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants and the prophets and the saints and those who fear your name, the small and the great, to destroy those who destroy the earth." So here we see the seventh trumpet and the third woe. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of God, and Christ begins to reign. This is the second coming when he sets up his kingdom on earth. This is the 1,000-year or the millennial reign. And then God's wrath, as we know, comes, and it's a time for judgment. And the saints that have died as martyrs there in the tribulation time will be rewarded. And it's time that God will destroy those on earth that have not received, not repented and received his word. So this completes our study in lesson 1. And next week, then, we'll be studying a lesson 2, and that will be about all Israel will be saved, and we'll go through that as we study next week. So let us close our lesson today in prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Father, that you speak to us through your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that teaches us and gives us understanding. And we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, because you alone, Father, are worthy. We ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.